All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Can you see it? Did you know this?
Check, but the puck comes right to Pettersson, who tries a bank pass for Besser. In with a shot, he scores!
A moment's notice. Adams Lee.
You're listening to Canucks Conversation.
Quinn Hughes, beat reporter here. Like, I don't cover the Canucks. Yeah. I cover Quinn Hughes and what he's doing to the Canucks.
A member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Just wave the guy and get Demko involved. I wanted him in and down.
Wow. We should do a radio show together. Right on. I want to fist bump you right now.
What our house. Pearl steals, cutting in, shoots, scores! Public display. It's ambushing me. They slay the dragon.
Yes, existence. Don't waste all the good stuff on the off air. Let's go.
Hello, Canucks fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Canucks Conversation, brought to you by the great folks at Zephyr Epic. You can use promo code HOCKEYSEASON, capital H, capital S, all one word, hockey season, and that will get you $5 off your order. Any order over $50, they ship free anywhere in Canada. That is our friends at Zephyr Epic from...
from one of our top cities for listens, Surrey, all the way to Sudbury.
Surrey to Sudbury, Zephyr Epic ships free on any order.
How was that little good one there, right?
That was a good one.
Sound very similar. Surrey, Sudbury?
Yeah.
I like that one.
You did great. Any order over $50, go check out Zephyr Epic for all your trading card needs, whether that be Magic the Gathering, Pokemon, hockey cards, basketball cards, football cards. They got it all.
And Zephyr Epic is in Surrey. Didn't even think about that.
There you go. They do have a retail location. You go into Surrey, you tell them Canucks Convo sent you, and you're using promo code Hockey Season. You don't have to say the capital H, capital S part.
You know where it is, the Zephyr Epic? Right by where you get your license. Everyone get their license done in Surrey. They know where it is. It's in that little industrial kind of area there. Just
epic.
So you know.
That is epic from Zephyr Epic.
And if you're ever going to get a new license, people, get yourself an appointment. You should. The lineups they got in that place to get into that one in the Surrey there, I feel bad because I get appointments for when I had to get a new license. Skip the line. I see the lineup going around the building. I feel bad for it. And I feel bad because I'm skipping the whole line going right in there, waiting 5 minutes. Who knows how long these people have been in line getting their license. So, yeah, book an appointment if you got to go do your license, people.
Go book an PSA. Appointment. Yeah, go book an appointment so you have more time to go to Zephyr Epic. Z-E-P-H-Y-R Epic on all platforms. Go check them out. Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, all that good stuff. Go sauce them a follow. We would really appreciate it. We are also delivered to you by the great folks at DoorDash. Use promo code CONVODD, capital C, capital D's, all one word. And that will get you 25% off and free delivery with your first order with the DoorDash app. Does not get much better than that, folks. My name is David Quadrelli. I am joined, as always, by the man who built the place, Chris Faber. We did a stand-up today, Chris. It's going to be posted on Canucks Army, hopefully by the time people are listening to this. We did a stand-up at Rogers Arena today. We had some fun with it.
Yeah, a stand-up with a step-up for you. That was it was good.
Also, I need to stress, I really didn't want to do that. Like, it wasn't because I was like, the reason that we did it wasn't because I was like, I need to be as tall as you or taller.
Yeah, it was my idea because I think it's funny.
It's funny, but I just need to stress that it wasn't me that was like, this needs to be how it is.
Yeah, whenever that's posted, people are going to see it. Then Woodley's got the behind the scenes to, because like, maybe some people don't know. They'll see the video and they'll be like, oh, you know, two guys look pretty similar height. You know, you look a little skinnier, I guess, than I do. But maybe some people be like, oh, I didn't know that Faber and Quads are the exact same height. Because we look the exact same height in the video.
I look taller than you
yeah,
in the video.
Yeah, that's true.
We also just got sent it, so we'll be posting it very shortly. Excellent. But
why don't
we
you should explain the episode.
Yeah, we're going to explain the episode a little bit. So we both got here. You know, we had done our morning skate. We were ready to go. We get here. It's Friday, 12:30 right now as I speak. And we kind of looked at each other. We were like, what are we going to talk about? Like, the game tonight is going to be the story. And usually we record Friday, put it out Saturday morning. But we don't know what's going to happen tonight. We don't know if Spencer Martin's going to get lit up. We don't know if it's going to be an Andrew Hammond type story where he comes in and steals the show and all of a sudden Thatcher Demko's expendable. I'm joking. But we don't know what's going to happen tonight. We have a good idea. We have some guesses, but no one wants to listen to us guess what's going to happen for a game that's already happened. So we decided we're going to put this episode out on Friday afternoon, get you set for the game, and then we're going to put out an episode for Saturday as well. So we'll be in tomorrow morning, Saturday morning, to kind of recap the game, recap Spencer Martin. So it's going to be like we're splitting the episode in half, but we're still going to have our regular commercial breaks and all that sort of stuff. And it'll just be probably like 2 half-hour, 45-minute episodes.
Yeah, we'll see what comes of it anyway.
Because there's still stuff to post. Like, we do have stuff.
There are certain things that we want to talk about that have happened over the past couple days, but we're probably going to avoid. Well, I mean, we'll touch on it a little bit because maybe people will be able to listen to this podcast before the game tonight. But tomorrow's episode will be part two of whatever this is, 232. Yeah. So there will be part two, and we'll chat a lot about the game at that point. But we still have some things to talk about, like, I got something to talk about. Speaking of DoorDash, this is why I should be using DoorDash. So I told you this. I didn't tell you the story yet, but I told you I have a drive-through story. So I was listening to a podcast. I think I was listening to Halford and Brough, because normally I listen later in the day to Halford and Brough because I'm not waking up early to get the live action stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm going through the drive-through, and the Taco Bell that I grew up with in Nanaimo, they have like a menu, like a big menu wall before you get to the place where you actually order, right? So it's like you can get yourself all set, then you drive around a little bit more of the drive-thru, and that's where you order. There's like another menu, another spot where you'd speak into. So I'm looking at this one at the Taco Bell that I go to in Cloverdale, because I'm feeling like a little Taco Bell mix up a little bit, get myself a little Doritos Gordita Crunch or something like that.
Yeah.
So I'm getting that. I look at the wall, and then I drive up to them. I was like, oh, then I'll go order at the next little window thing there. There's no next little window thing. So I just didn't order. I just was like driving through the drive-thru. And then I like passed the thing where you're supposed to order. And I get to this spot. I'm like, oh God, I can't like back up because there's a car behind me, like actually putting in their order. And then like, so now I'm just stuck in this drive-thru where like I haven't ordered any food. I'm just like in this like the worst awkward position. I kind of zoned out because I was getting into the podcast pretty hard, which probably isn't good. I shouldn't be zoning out while I'm driving, but I was in a drive-thru, so it was a little bit safer, I guess. And then anyway, so I like pull up, and then I'm stuck at this point. I have no order in through Taco Bell. I'm stuck between like the car that's at the window, a car behind that, then me, then the car behind me is placing their order. And then in like for a split second, I was like, should I just like take what the person behind me ordered and like just pay for it and like take it and go? But then I was like, no, I can't do that. And then so I drive up, and then just like the car in front of me gets their stuff from the drive-thru, drives away, and I just like drive, and I just like awkwardly look over at the lady at the window, and I just keep driving, and then I just like go park and walk into the Taco Bell, and I felt so stupid. Because I just drove. Because I grew up, my Taco Bell, they had a pre-menu wall. It got you all set to know what you're going to order when you get up to your damn thing. And this one, I just goofed super hard on this, and I was stuck in the drive-thru doing nothing.
That's very funny. It kind of answers a question that Halford and Bruff were asking today.
Oh, gosh.
And they were trying to figure out who the smarter one was.
Yeah.
I'm just joking. I haven't replied to a tweet because someone said someone was asking, and I was like, the answer is actually neither of us.
Yeah,
I can't do, like, addition past 10. You can't figure out how a drive-thru works.
Even under 10. You friggin' asking your Siri or using a calculator to put in your golf score.
Yeah, because that number gets over 10 in a hurry.
All right. Yeah, for you it does. A couple holes.
All right, let's get into it. We've got some Canucks talk to get to. I guess the big one, obviously, Spencer Martin starting in net for the Vancouver Canucks against the Florida Panthers in their first home game since the 14th. I can confirm this is a Canucks Army exclusive. Nearly Neal is making his return tonight.
Really?
I don't know if I'm allowed to report this, but I think I'm just going to. I think I'm going to tweet this like right now as we speak. Okay. Because Nearly Neal is making his return tonight, and that's big news.
Yeah, you're excited about this.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. I'm so excited.
Well, that's good to hear. It's going to be, man, I tell you, Spencer Martin, like, listen, he's... It could be a really bad night for the Canucks, but it might be a night where Spencer Martin plays, like, really well. Because he's had these nights out in Abbotsford where... I talk about this four-game stretch that he had out in Abbotsford where he was just excellent. Like, he was dynamite at the start of December. And this four-game stretch kind of put him into the spot where he was going to be getting a lot of the starts. Obviously, COVID really shook things up out there in Abbotsford and had to postpone some games. And then some postponements up in Vancouver brought him onto the taxi squad. A whole bunch of things happened. But, the last five games, pretty much, that we've seen of Spencer Martin have been really good. His final game in Abbotsford wasn't great, but that four-game stretch before that, the guy was playing really good hockey. Doesn't have a regulation loss this year. He's 5-0-2 out in Abbotsford. So he might not be the worst option. He's a guy who's been around. And I know Woodley's gone off about how these certain things that Spencer Martin never really even learned from his goaltending coach in the past are things that he's learning now with Ian Clark and all this mumbo jumbo goalie whatever talk. I don't know what Woodley's saying half the time. It sounds like Woodley's speaking another language. He did an hour on Sportsnet 650 the other day. How many people listen to that? Maybe six people probably tuned into that. No one wants to listen to that for an hour of Woodley. But anyways, he's saying that Spencer Martin is probably better than people think. And he's, you know, we've been kind of worried about Spencer Martin because he's taken away a lot of starts from your son, Archer Seelovs and Mikey DiPietro down there. But this is the opportunity where having Spencer Martin, I think, actually really helps the organization. It's something that they missed last year, having a taxi squad goaltender like for this situation that's happened to the Vancouver Canucks where they're going to have to play the third string guy. Having Spencer Martin here actually does help them. And I do think he's the right decision to go in tonight and hope for the best, man. That Florida team's really good, but they're going to start their backup as well, who's a lot younger and struggling as well. So at least it's a backup versus a third string instead of, you know, Bobrovsky, who's been great this year. But that Florida team, man, this is no joke what they're going to bring. That Florida team was very good against the Vancouver Canucks and saw them put up 6 against the Edmonton Oilers. I don't know. This is going to be a tough match for Spencer Martin, man. This is going to be probably the hardest task of goaltending he's ever had in front of them. I bet tonight's the night. I don't think he's ever had a night harder than he's going to face tonight against the Panthers.
I think you're right. And the thing about Spencer Martin, since we had that discussion of always taking starts away, like, they played DiPietro and Seelovs quite a bit. And DiPietro has been playing better recently. Like, he's starting to turn it around. No, he's starting to turn it around. And he's looking good. When he was on the ice with Ian Clark, he always was, though. That's the only thing. So I don't want to put too much weight into that because obviously the results are what matters in this business. So I like the decision to start Martin. I really do. The one thing that I want to mention is just that, yeah, like, DiPietro's up to 13 starts. Seelovs has 9 and Martin has 7. So it's no longer a discussion of, oh, he's stealing starts away. And yeah, I get it. Like, he was earlier, and that's why we were kind of talking about it.
It was the start of December. He got that big run at the start.
Yeah, I got the huge run, and it was like, okay, what are we doing here, guys? Like, let's not forget the two early 20s goaltenders that we have that we're trying to develop here. Like, let's not forget about that. But I like the decision to start Spencer Martin. I think this is a kind of an opportunity for him to step in because, look, the Canucks once had to throw Mikey DiPietro to the Sharks before, right? Now they're going to have to throw him to the Panthers, if you will. And they don't have to do that now because of having Spencer Martin on the squad. I'm curious if Spencer Martin starts to, you know, if this game turns into a blowout, you throw Mike in, just see what you have in him. Similar to what the Canucks did when they had Markstrom against Vegas. Do you remember that game when Mike got to play 8 minutes against Vegas and he was fantastic?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd be curious because
that's what I'm doing.
Canucks. If he gets lit up, you probably want to just try Mikey for the next game. So I wonder if you want to throw him in. You know, or if you really give, because it's going to be a while till we see at least 5 days, right? We're going to see Demko not till what, Tuesday now at least? Because I guess Thursday would have been Tuesday. The first day.
I don't even know if you want to play him on Tuesday because, you know, you want 5 days off.
And then it's
no
like
joke.
These guys in the States that test as positive, who knows what days these guys are going to come back, sure. Right? I mean, it's a mess with the border and making it really tough. And, you know, Boudreaux was pretty frustrated the other day when you heard him talking about it and he was saying, like, COVID seems like it's the same virus in Canada and the United States. Yeah. Why is there all these different days making it up to 2 weeks? We have to wait to see
exactly
one of these players. It's brutal, the situation that's going on, man.
It's frustrating them. And unfair is what Boudreaux said, and it is very hard to disagree with him.
Yep. No, absolutely. And it sounded like Boudreaux leaned on Ian Clark quite a bit for this decision. You could see it at the end of practice today. Mm-hmm. Boudreaux, who I don't even think took the ice today.
No, he was just standing there in a hoodie.
Yeah, he was there in a hoodie and sweatpants, but he did spend a lot of time talking to Ian Clark at the end, and it looked like Ian Clark was on the ice kind of making that decision for him almost as he took Spencer Martin off pretty early. Mikey stayed around, and what a bad spot for Mikey DiPietro at morning skate today. It's like, hey, after practice is over, Mikey, we're going to put you in net, and we're going to put Quinn Hughes at the top. We're going to put Brock Besser on the left and Pedersen on the right. They're going to wire one-timers at you for about 20 minutes, like... What a bad spot to be for a goalie. They end up hitting Mikey in the face at one point. Besser hits him in the face. And then right after that, one of them breaks the glass behind Mikey DiPietro on an absolute cannon of a shot. Like, what a crappy spot to be for a goaltender for poor Mikey there. It's like the kid who gets called up and just his little
literally,
opportunity.
He had to get called up yesterday morning. Like, he had to drive in from Abbotsford.
Yeah, they delayed practice.
So they had two goaltenders. It was hilarious.
Now we're going to see if this affects Abbotsford too, because Abbotsford's going Saturday, Sunday. Very likely you could see Arthur Seelaws get a back-to-back chance for him. Like, what test for the 20-year-old in the AHL. Like, you know, kind of... cool situation there, because I think it's the AHL, doesn't matter as much, and Arthur Seelaws already proved that you can play at the AHL level. So like a couple back-to-backs, I like that for Seelaws.
Like Seelaws once told Canucks Army and told you specifically, like we're going to save the franchise.
Yeah, Seelaws did tell us he's going to save the franchise now that I think about it. Him and Mikey.
Oh, man.
So
what a great quote. Again, for those that are new to the show, we did have some new listeners after the Chris Gear episode, so we appreciate that. But for those that are new to the show, old bit of a running joke, when training camp had just finished and Chris was asking Arthur Seelaws about him and Mikey DiPietro's tandem together in Abbotsford, out of context, Seelaws said the words, we're going to save the franchise. But that's not what he meant to say.
Artie might be saving the Abbotsford franchise this weekend. Literally, because the goalie that they used in San Diego, you went and you could look at his, I looked him up on Instagram to see what he was all about, because his Elite Prospects page said that he was retired. So I go, I'm like, I'll see what his Instagram account says. And the bio of the backup goaltender for Arthur Seelaws the other day for the Abbotsford Canucks, his bio literally says former professional goaltender, retired, living life with my family. Like, and he was the guy backing up Abbotsford the other day. So I don't know who they're pulling out of, you know, wherever, if they're pulling a guy out of freaking Trinity Western to come back up for Abbotsford, they're going to be finding somebody to just come in here and play backup for the weekend for the Abbotsford Canucks here.
I'll have to text Mike McKenna, see if he wants to step in.
Yeah. Yeah, they were talking about that the other day on 650 when I was working. Who should be the goalie that comes in?
My vote's McKenna or Woodley.
They're saying, who would be the best goaltender to back up for the Vancouver Canucks? I'll give you three options here.
Okay.
Kirk McLean, who's in great shape.
Yep.
And also in every girl or guy's Tinder profile picture. Corey Hirsch.
Yeah.
Who I hear is more of a, doesn't play goaltender anymore in these things. Cheech. Or Kevin Woodley. Those are your four options.
McLean,
who are you putting in there?
By far.
McLean?
He's in the best shape of all those guys.
Yeah.
And I say that not as a slight against any of them, but...
Woodley still plays goalie, though.
Yeah, but McLean could dust it off and play better than Woodley.
You think
and that's
so?
No disrespect to Woodley, but yeah. Mm. Dude, Woodley's like, it's not even close. Woodley's never played pro in his life.
Okay, but I mean, Woodley's younger though, right? Woodley's got quite a bit younger than McLean.
How old's Kirk McLean?
Oh, geez, I don't know.
Because I know Woodley's younger.
Yeah, I guess
younger.
He can't be
Woodley has to be younger, he's going to hate us even more.
Yeah, we're spending too much time on this damn episode talking about freaking Kevin Woodley.
Woodley's got a very funny video of us standing on the steps. But yeah. I don't think Kirk McLean's that. All right, McLean's 55. So, yes, Woodley is younger.
Okay, but yeah, McLean would be better goalie then.
Yeah. And I just don't think Hershey plays anymore. So no. I don't think he'd want to.
No, he's not a goalie. Anymore from what I hear.
Once
I remember
a goalie, always a goalie.
Because
yeah.
I remember seeing at the Canucks Autism Network's game out at UBC, I saw Hershey try the Forsberg on Woodley. I believe it was, I think it was Woodley playing goalie. Now I think about it. And he tried the Forsberg because Corey Hirsch was the goaltender that Forsberg did that to.
Yes.
When it was Sweden versus Canada. He tried that on Woodley, but Woodley
shut
made
the door.
Save, shut the door on him there.
All right, we'll cut to break. On the other side, we'll talk a little bit more. There was a big hire in the analytics department that we're going to talk about.
Also, the bumper position on PP2, baby. Yeah. We're getting into it.
We've got some good stuff to talk about, so we'll catch you guys on the other side.
And before we go any further into the episode, want to give a shout-out to Parallel 49 Brewing. You guys can find Parallel 49 beer all across BC and Alberta. And right now, we want to give a quick shout-out to the Unparalleled Pack, featuring four of the P49 favorites, the Trash Panda, the Filthy Dirty, the Jerkface 9000, and the Hillbilly Ninja. My favorite of the four there, the Jerkface 9000, the Pink Can. Something good about those cans there at Parallel 49. So go out and try them. You can find them in most liquor stores across BC and Alberta.
And a massive thank you to all of our sponsors here at the Canucks Conversation. Chris, we want to talk about Rachel Dory, the Rachel Dory hiring. It's a good hiring by the organization into the analytics department. Rachel once joined our very podcast and gave us some really good stuff about how an NHL organization works, how a scouting department works. Again, she provided a lot of insight on this podcast when Judd Brackett was let go.
Yeah.
Her and Cam Robinson joined us. That was a really fun episode. All the best to Rachel as she joins the Vancouver Canucks in the analytics department. Really great to see. Really great to see them making a forward-thinking hiring. And again, like, this is the thing. Like, I saw some fans were upset because, you know, she said, quote-unquote, mean things about the Canucks, but there was one quote in particular that I wanted to point out that I just absolutely loved, because it's showing that the organization has not only taken such massive steps in the right direction, which we don't even need to, you know, not to beat a dead horse, but they have turned things around with this organization, and Jim Rutherford is a very different voice than the ones that have been in this organization
recently. Can I correct you instead of voice? A very different manager would be the right word
Yes.
you want to say. Just the way that he's going to manage this operation.
And
as,
speak in
as
public.
As a guy who's a president. I know that manager's not in his name, but yep. Major role of a president is managing down.
Well, interim GM right now, right?
Yep, so, for sure.
Yeah.
Sorry, keep going.
The quote from Rachel is, she was talking about Steve Yzerman and Joe Sakic and was saying these GMs are playing 5D chess, and then you have Jim Benning gluing macaroni to cardboard. And I just thought that was such a great quote at the time it came out, because it really did describe what Jim Benning was doing as Canucks general manager quite well. And like, people having a problem with that is very funny, because quite clearly Jim Rutherford thought the exact same thing.
Right.
Right? Like, quite clearly he shares that opinion. And I don't know. I just thought that quote was so funny.
I have to give a shout out, because that quote was going around Canucks Reddit, and all the comments were like, oh man, I got to throw out all my macaroni and macaroni art now off the fridge. Which, yeah, unfortunately I might have to. But yeah, what a quote. It's great to have like a forward-thinking, smart analytics mind from a young person, right? Like, Rachel's 25 years old. Mm-hmm. She's already had this experience with the Devils, worked at, I think, York University as well, and some OHL work before that as well. So, like, a different type of voice than we've seen in the past with the Vancouver Canucks, but a smart mind and a new age hockey mind in Rachel Dory. I think it's a great addition. Obviously, friend of the show. You know, excited for her to get this opportunity with the Vancouver Canucks. And it's just a different voice that I think is going to be the thing that we're going to see from Jim Rutherford that's so different from Jim Benning and his management group is these different voices that we're going to hear and be hopefully making arguments and coming together to make decisions off of those arguments. Yeah. That's the interesting thing that I find. I think Rachel's going to bring a good voice for that, and her background in analytics is great. I'm excited to see what she can do with this organization. All the best.
Couple things, got to say. I'm sad to see her leave. She was with Nation Network.
That's right.
With Daily Faceoff, so sad to see her go from that role, but obviously very happy for her.
We gained Chris Gear.
We traded Chris Gear for Rachel Dory. That was the trade with the Vancouver Canucks organization. The one thing I did want to mention as well, obviously all the best to Rachel. Jennifer Botterill, that coming out. Oh, sorry, before I get to that, Rachel had multiple offers from NHL teams. I believe Drance was the one that reported that. She chose Vancouver. She really wanted to come here. You know, she did say on her podcast, her farewell podcast with the Staff and Graph podcast, that she's always wanted to work in Vancouver, and she really does believe in what the pieces they have in place and the new vision for the organization from the top. Like many fans, she believes in it now.
I think a lot of that's Jim Rutherford and just his.
Yeah.
I guess I don't even know the right word. I guess like his vibe around like the hockey world. That's not the right word. What kind of word am I looking for here?
Reputation.
Just, yeah, reputation is a better word for it. His reputation around the NHL world is, you know, around the hockey world is just he's Jim Rutherford. Everybody knows Jim Rutherford, and I think if he wants you to come work for you for them for the Canucks now, I think a lot of people are probably like Rachel, who had multiple offers, as you said, probably wants to come work for Jim Rutherford. It's a guy with a good rep.
And this isn't me ragging on Jim Benning. This isn't me ragging on the past management team. This is me speaking from what I've heard from ownership, like speak specifically. Like Francesco Aquilini talked about, you know, the need for them to turn it around and not just the on-ice product. The organization as a whole, he talked about how communication was an issue with the last management regime, talked about a lot of different issues, but this is all about making the Canucks a respected franchise again. Like we saw the reports, and fans can say whatever they want, but the report saying that the Canucks were the laughingstock of the league and like among other GM circles, they were like, this is a joke. That's not just made up. That's not the evil Vancouver media talking. That's fact. Like, they were not a well-respected organization for a lot of years recently, and Jim Rutherford's a good guy to bring them back to that.
They just hired Rachel, who the quote that you spoke on the other day was like, this is someone who's connected in NHL circles, and Rachel Dory, who now is working for the Canucks. Quote that you talked about the other day was not just her saying that. We've heard similar quotes, maybe not as like as funny and as good as what Rachel said, but a lot of similar things going around. I mean, heck, you had... was it Uncle Elite calling into the Edmonton Edmonton TSN postgame show the other day as like a joke to say that they should hire Jim Benning as the closer?
He's like Jim Benning finishes rosters. He brought in Oliver Ekman-Larsson. He brought in JT Miller. He brought in Tyler Myers. The Oilers need Jim Benning.
Yeah,
it was great. That's
the thing about Vancouver. It's really changed, and I think we're very close to getting that general manager. What's going to be interesting is the reports that we're going to see from Elliot Friedman on Saturday night on Hockey Night in Canada here, or if something comes out of here from one of the insiders in the next 24 hours, because I think I saw that it was reporting. I think PJ had this that Alvin's interview was today.
Yes.
Burke's interview was yesterday. Was Mellenby's interview yesterday as
was
well?
Was Burke's yesterday? I didn't know if Burke had gotten his interview.
I think PJ had that. So interviews are happening. Like in-person interviews are happening.
Yep.
Over the past couple of days, it still feels like Alvin has been the name since the start. And I heard Friedman mention this the other day on the Merrick show, was like, a lot of the time, the guy who is mentioned off the top tends to be the guy at the end that they are selected. Yeah. If there's one guy, and does that worry you at all about bringing in so many guys from Pittsburgh, like bringing in multiple guys from the Pittsburgh organization? I mean, that was an organization that won. I think that's the good part about it. But is it just feel like Rutherford? Because I've seen some people worry a little bit about this. I don't get that feeling because I see different hires and I see the ones that they're keeping in the organization. And I think that I wouldn't worry about it too much. So I've seen people in the 650 text line. I've been working a lot, producing a lot of shows. So I've been like in the 650 inbox. And that's the thing. People are like, where is this trade Pedersen thing coming from? You should see how many people like call in and text in that want to trade Pedersen. We're not going to get into that because that's ridiculous. But I had to go. Sorry. I got to just say this guy who called in the other day. This guy calls in the other day. He's like, you know what they should do? They should trade Brock Besser and Elias Pettersson to Dallas. And I was like, oh yeah, okay. So because you have to like screen their calls before they get on air.
Of course.
And then he's like, here's what I'm thinking for a return. Jonathan Klingberg and Rupe Hintz. And then like he's saying all the names wrong. And then he's like, and Joe Pavelski. They get those three, I guarantee they're getting into the playoffs this year. And I was like, huh. I was like, all right. He's like, I'll hop on with the guys if you want. I was like, no, they're not actually taking calls right now.
Oh my gosh.
Dude, he's like, you want to trade Besser and Pettersson for 37-year-old Pavelski, Klingberg on an expiring deal, and Rupe Hintz.
Oh my gosh.
Like, there's people out there that I couldn't believe this take. I couldn't believe it. Yeah.
Doesn't even throw in Miro Heiskanen.
No. I was like,
Rupe Hintz.
Yeah. Well, that's like, I don't even know how he said his name. I think he kept
Nintendo saying, Power Magazine.
I don't think, and he kept saying, I think he just kept calling him Klingbar. I was like, it's Klingberg, but yeah, it wasn't the best deal.
All right. The last thing I wanted to say before we kind of close out here,
Sheldon Dries, baby, freaking power
well,
play.
Too. Yeah. Just before we close out the GM talk. Jennifer Botterill apparently turned down the AGM job for personal reasons. I believe that came from Donnie and Dolly's Rick Dollywall. Mm. I believe he was the one that had that. So,
freaking Dollywall with you and your.
I texted Dollywall. I apologize.
Talking about you the other day, Squadrelli.
Squadrelli. I don't know how he gets my last name wrong.
Where does the S?
I don't know. I would love to see what he has in his phone as my contact name.
Yeah,
like does it have an S? Is that why?
Well, we've talked about the Donnie or the Dolly text in the past. One of our favorites.
Can we play the clip? I think that'd be really funny. We should play the clip of Donnie and Dolly talking about us.
All right,
today.
We'll play.
I think
quick,
that was really funny.
Wong, we don't have much time with you today. You've got a podcast in about half an hour, don't you?
You know what? You're the worst. This guy had a podcast to do yesterday. He bailed on it.
And the guys running the podcast
text me. I'm sleeping. Oh, can you come on? Donnie bailed. That's ridiculous.
Okay, first of all, I had a good excuse. I don't have to get into that. Second of all, it all got done. It was Canucks conversation.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
With Squadrelli David, or whatever his name there. Squadrelli.
Chris.
Yeah, he tells me. He texts me and goes, oh, Donnie bailed.
And it all got done.
On?
I got involved in something yesterday. I forgot about it. It got done. They phoned you. Thank God they didn't have to use you.
Yeah, exactly.
Because what you charge for those things.
And then he woke me up. I have a cat nap every day. The Squadrelli there woke me up.
That's a tough scene, though. You're in the business. You know what it's like to tap dance.
I'm supposed to introduce you first.
Oh, well, I just think that's a really bad faux pas on your part. You know how hard it is. You're all prepared, ready to go at a certain time. Then the interview subject no-shows. You know how hard that is.
I know. I felt bad. I did. You're right.
And you big-time them.
Canucks conversation. Right?
Yeah. And they good try kids, and... those guys. Good kids.
Okay. You can't get the names right, but good kids.
Even Faber.
So you were napping yesterday. I thought you were talking to Jim Rutherford yesterday.
So that was our friends. We like to call them friends, even though Dollywall apparently doesn't know my name.
Squadrelli.
Squadrelli. Don Taylor, Rick Dollywall, friends of the show. It was very funny to hear them talk about us like that. Also, Halford and Brough talked about us for a few minutes today, too. We're doing a little media tour right now, it seems like. Everybody's talking about us.
Yeah, look at us go. You got Chris Gear on the show, and now everybody knows who we are.
Yeah, again. Once you get Chris Gear on, you've made it. All right.
Patriots fan Chris Gear, I found out yesterday, too. Because you know what?
Could have played for them if you wanted
Funny thing is, we had Gear on, Wednesday?
Wednesday.
I go into 6:50 yesterday, and who's our guest at 5 o'clock is Chris Gear. So I call him up. I'm like, hey, Gear, it's Faber. He's like, geez, you're everywhere.
That's awesome.
Yep. You know it.
That's fantastic. All right. Sheldon Dries. We'll close out with that. Go ahead.
Sheldon Dries, HL sniper. First hat trick in AHL in Abbotsford Canucks history. Going to get an opportunity to play on the second power play in the bumper position. You know what? I like it. You get Pod Colson back in front of the net. I'm a little pissed off that Chaisson's back on PP1 and everyone's like, well, you know, you got to put him on there. This is blah, blah, blah. They got all these COVID cases. No, you don't. You don't have to put Chaisson there when you have Vasily Podkolzin. He's on the second power play, and he's going to be the net front guy there. You got Brad Hunt back on the second power play unit. Sheldon Dries, what a jumble of players mixed into there on that PP2. I tell you what, that's going to be an interesting one to see if they get more than 15 seconds of ice time on a power play. We'll have to see, but I don't like Chaisson going back to PP1 when you have Podkolzin. I still think that's a mistake. But Sheldon Dries, I mean, the guy puts the puck in the back of the net, doesn't look great doing it, but he gets the puck in the back of the net somehow, and I don't think he would have been the best option coming in play, but Boudreaux said it today when we asked about it. That was the guy that, whether it be Trent Cole or Ryan Johnson, that's who the AHL team said, that's your guy to go up and play. They have Justin Bailey on the ice. He was at practice today, but they either, it was Boudreaux's decision, I guess, at a certain point, but he even said, like, he doesn't know much about Dries at all. He just listened to what Cole and RJ had to say from Abbotsford, and their word was, I guess, to play him above Justin Bailey even. So interesting to see what happens with Bailey. Bailey might get sent back down for Saturday and Sunday's games in the AHL, because that's kind of the part of the taxi squad that you can work well specifically with your AHL team now so close out in Abbotsford. So I like Dries is going to be, I think he's an all right player. He's a guy who got to play some games for the Colorado Avalanche last year. He's not a horrible NHL player. He could probably fit into some NHL lineups, just hasn't been able to crack it just yet, but he's been good down in the A as a finisher. He's not really a play creator. He's not really the typical center. He plays more like a winger as a guy who's more of a finisher, but I don't think he'll be that out of place tonight. Smaller guy, but we'll see what happens with Dries. I do think that I don't think he'll be horrible like a lot of people sort of expect, and he'll get his chance on PP2.
I think tonight, and I'm going to say this, we're going to close out. You guys can go listen to part two on Saturday after the game. I'm going to close out by saying I think tonight will highlight the need for Jack Rathbone to get called up. Brad Hunt's on power play too. I get Bruce Boudreaux likes Brad Hunt. I get he had him in Minnesota and he had success in Vegas. I get that. But I think tonight highlights the need for Jack Rathbone. I'm going to go out and say that.
Doesn't look like we'll see Kyle Burrows either. I didn't see him on the ice today.
Kyle Burrows was on the ice, but he was one of the last to get off the ice, which indicates that he's not going to play. So we'll see. Because I thought Kyle Burrows was okay.
I think after this weekend, like a back-to-back spot for Rathbone to get, because he was sort of just getting back into it last week. Like he didn't play a ton of minutes. Like he wasn't the number one guy. I think this weekend in Abbotsford, you're going to see 20, 25, you're going to see about 25 minutes on Saturday probably of Rathbone, and you'll probably see like 22, 23 minutes of Rathbone on Sunday. So you're going to get a big haul of Jack Rathbone out in Abbotsford this weekend. And then I think coming into next week, like maybe for that Tuesday game, might be able to see Rathbone get a call up for that, because they're at home this weekend. Then they hit the road, I think, again, just over to Manitoba, I believe, next weekend. So I think that they might want to get Rathbone with Vancouver as soon as Tuesday.
I think you're right. We'll have to close it out there. Part two will come up tomorrow. Yeah, I think so. 35, 36 minutes. Podcast.
It's a half close out because we're coming back at you in the next, within 24 hours, we'll have another episode.
We'll have another one out. So, for my co-host Chris Faber, my name is Dave Grilli. Enjoy the game, folks. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of The Canucks. No,
another half episode of.
Another half episode.
Come on, you got to throw some oomph into this whole half, this part one, part two, half episode.
Thank you for listening to part one of episode 232 of The Canucks Conversation.
Thanks for listening to Canucks Conversation, delivered by DoorDash. Hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
How about keep it to a thank you, Jim?